All right, folks, welcome back. We have a really good show for you. I've got John LeMay in studio, as well as Jason Garcia. Today's topic, Billy the Kid. Roll the intro.
Having recently been displaced due to COVID, with all the crazy life twists and turns that have followed suit, we have unintentionally crash-landed in a town embracing its pop culture notoriety, Roswell, New Mexico. What is reality really like living in alien town? From art and music to UFOs and more, tune in while I document our discovery of Roswell on our journey to become full-fledged Roswellians. You're listening to The William Atkinson Show. Let's get to it.
Okay, so welcome back. Today's show's all about Billy the Kid. We have John LeMay in, credited over 40 books now.
Yep, I'm 40 books old. So I started back when I was 22, and I've just done a couple of books every year since then. I love doing it. It's a lot of fun. And the Historical Society for Southeast New Mexico, which is located over at 200 North Lee here in town, helped quite a bit with that. And, you know, also here with us today is the president, the current board president,
Jason Garcia.
Yes, good afternoon.
Welcome. You also are associated with the New Mexico Military Institute.
Right. So I work at New Mexico Military Institute on a full-time basis. I actually work for the Army, a recruit for ROTC. And then I'm also in the Army Reserve on the side. And so I've got my my plates pretty full.
Very good.
Yeah.
So how did you become the president of the Historical Society?
So I got involved with the Historical Society when I first moved to Roswell. And over the years, I guess it became my turn. I, you know, waited long enough to where I got voted in. It really wasn't that I was seeking the position, but, you know, I've been there long enough, and it was just an opportunity for me to do something a little bit more.
So where are you originally from then?
I'm from Roswell, but okay. I moved away, particularly to go to college and to the serve active duty time in the Army, and then I moved back.
Well, thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you.
And John, where are you from?
I was born here. My parents were born here, and at least one of my grandparents was born here, so about three generations worth.
Okay. So you're rooted in the community.
Yep, absolutely, and also rooted pretty heavily in Fort Sumner, where Billy the Kid was shot and killed back in 1881.
So that is our subject material today. Just dive right into it.
Sure. So maybe before the history, you know, I'll give my opinion on why I think Billy the Kid has lingered so long in everyone's imaginations. Because I went to, they had a film festival for Billy the Kid in Las Vegas, New Mexico recently. And that was one of the questions they asked all the panelists that were there. And, you know, they just asked, well, why do you think he's endured for so long? Kind of like Jesse James and some others. So Billy the Kid, in my opinion, I tend to think of him like the James Dean of the Old West. You know, he died young and he was good looking. Now, a lot of people won't say that Billy was good looking because he took one bad photograph. And, you know, we've all taken bad photographs that don't look like ourselves. And unfortunately for him, that happened in the Old West when you hardly ever got photographs. So he's only got the one, allegedly. You know, there's some others people think might be him, but a lot of his alleged girlfriends, you know, after he died, you know, they all said, we didn't like that picture. It didn't do him justice. And he was quite the ladies' man. He was very popular. And so I just, again, I think it was just the fact that he died young and he was good looking. So people kind of glorified him, that just as they tend to do. So I think that's why he's endured for so long. But, you know, record keeping back in the Old West wasn't too great. So where he was really born, what his actual birth name was, who his birth father was, there's so many mysteries. But he was born about, I can't remember if it's 1858 or 1859. You know, back then their record keeping wasn't very good. Allegedly he's from New York, moved out west with his mother. It's pretty unclear who his father was. He had a stepfather named Henry Antrim. And actually, I can't remember if the stepfather's name was William Antrim or Henry. That gets kind of confusing because some people say Billy the Kid's first name is actually Henry, and he changed it to William to avoid confusion with his stepfather who had the same name as him. But they all moved to Silver City together. That's where Billy the Kid's mother passed away when he was about 14 or 15. And after that, he just kind of bounced around on his own like a tumbleweed. He blew on into Arizona. He got into a fight with this ruffian named Wendy Cahill, that was his first kill. I think it was 1875 or so, and then he ran over here to New Mexico, eventually came to the village of Lincoln, which was embroiled in a conflict today we call it the Lincoln County War.
To provide a little historical context, the town of Roswell's economic engine started with the Goodnight Loving Cattle Trail and John Chisholm, and the cattle trails coming up from Fort Stockton down there in Texas, and then along the Pecos River coming north to Lincoln County. So what we've got is John Chisholm and John Tunstall, they were on the one side, mm-hmm. and then there was the Dolan.
Yeah.
The Murphy-Dolan faction.
The Murphys and Dolans, right? Yes. And they were wrapped up with the...
The Santa Fe Ring.
So that's where that... So the bad guys come into play, mm-hmm. right? The Santa Fe Ring, which I'll let you chime in a little bit about. Then we have the James Murphy monopoly in Lincoln, where John Tunstall shows up, partners with John Chisholm. There turns into a conflict over money, effectively. So bring us through a little bit of that backstory, which eventually created the situation that propelled Billy the Kid into the forefront of pop culture.
Sure. So since you said pop culture, let's just think of the Santa Fe Ring as the Empire in Star Wars. And, you know, John Chisholm and John Tunstall, they're kind of like, you know, the Obi-Wan Kenobi side of it. And then you could say Billy the Kid is like Luke Skywalker. He's like the farm boy, not exactly a farm boy, but he's the young kid who just gets mixed up in the middle of it. And he becomes the star and the hero of the whole thing. So the Santa Fe Ring... This is back in the 1870s, late 1870s, about 1878 to be precise. New Mexico isn't a state yet, it's just a territory, so it doesn't have maybe the same laws and rules that states have. It's a little more wild. People are left to their own devices more so. And the territory is definitely ruled by the Santa Fe Ring, which, you know, they're not exactly a secret society like the Illuminati or anything like that, but they were just a group of politicians that were like-minded, that were greedy, and they would work together, you know, to fill their pocketbooks. Among their numbers was a man named Lawrence G. Murphy, and he owned a huge mercantile in the town of Lincoln, because you've got Lincoln County, then you've also got the town of Lincoln. And just to be clear, Murphy operated out of the town of Lincoln. You've also got a couple of Native American reservations at Fort Stanton and Fort Sumner. So there's the need to feed the populations there. So you have the aforementioned Goodnight Loving cattle trails that John Chisholm would operate along. So there was a couple of conflicts at play. So first you've got Murphy and John Chisholm. They were in competition for the beef contracts with these government reservations. And then into the mix comes a young Englishman named John Tunstall. And Tunstall wanted to open his own mercantile in Lincoln, which was a big no-no because that was in competition with Murphy.
Now, Tunstall was a British immigrant, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Came over here looking for prospects and business opportunity.
Yep. And so he started a store that was in direct competition with Lawrence Murphy and James Dolan. And that's what really set things off. And that's, you know, pretty much why they killed Tunstall.
It's pretty interesting that there was some already built up rivalry and anxiety there in the Lincoln area, because you've got the Irish folks that are trying to set up businesses and things like that. And then you've got a Brit who comes in and tries to do the same thing in the same territory. And so you've got some built in animosity because they're overstepping their territory and their businesses.
So John Chisholm basically sided with Tunstall because he knew that it would tick Murphy off, and they, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, that sort of thing. So, you know, you got Chisholm and Tunstall and a lawyer named Alexander McSween on one side. Then on the other, you've got Murphy backed by the Santa Fe Ring and all his minions. And, you know, some people, and this is probably a pretty honest assessment, they say there wasn't really any truly good guys or bad guys in this Lincoln County War. They were all in it for themselves. You know, no one was really in it to help the poor people or anything like that. They all just wanted to get richer. And Tunstall was murdered in February of 1878. He was straight up just ambushed and murdered by men that worked for Lawrence Murphy. And once that happened, that's when the so-called Lincoln County War officially erupted, and it lasted for about 5 months from that February until July of 1878.
This whole Pecos Valley has roots along the old Lovington cattle trail, where you've got the Goodnight and Lovington. They bring up all the cattle, you know, and Chisholm comes in, and Chisholm's got a lot of political power, a lot of money, and he's down here in Chavez County. The Lincoln County War's up north, but they're as the cattle's coming through, as I understand, all of this was really about that store that gets brought up. Tunstall starts his store because of the Santa Fe Ring, and then you've got the Murphys and Dolans, you know, trying to control all of this stuff, and then this high-powered John Chisholm comes in back, you know, a competing side.
Yeah, so this really disrupted a lot of the government contracts that the Dolan faction had already set up before McSween and Chisholm, and so when they started to be in competition for those contracts, it disrupted what the Santa Fe Ring's, you know, source of income and money, and of course McSween being killed was also the high profile murder.
You mean Tunstall?
Tunstall, sorry, yeah.
McSween was Tunstall's lawyer.
Yes. It also raised a lot of questions, and they needed to put a squash on it.
Now, Billy the Kid allegedly had been one of the witnesses to the murder of Tunstall.
Yeah, and you got to think of pretty much all of the actors in this whole scene were within, what, 25 years old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Because,
you know, all of them were young men. So,
see, my mind accidentally drifted just now to Tunstall as he is in the films, which is an old man, which is totally incorrect. He was just a few years older than Billy.
If you've seen Young Guns, the actor that plays John Tunstall is an elderly man, father figure kind of sort. However, that's far from reality.
Yes.
And this isn't particularly a one-off for Hollywood. The whole movie Chisholm with John Wayne, right, was a complete catastrophe as it relates to the truth. Great movie. Very cool story. Very loosely based on reality.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about men that are in their late teens to late 20s, maybe early 30s.
Yeah, Tunstall was really only a few years older than Billy the Kid. Probably, I can't remember how old he was, but young early 20s was all.
Billy the Kid is kind of taken in by Tunstall. Not really a father figure, you would say, but more of a friend.
Yeah, maybe more of a friend, older brother. And some people say they never really got that close. Just Tunstall gifted him with some things. And my interpretation of it, it might be more of an egotistical thing, like, you killed my boss, now I've got to kill you, you know, cause, like, by attacking my employer, you're attacking me and my side. So it might have been maybe more along those lines.
Yeah, and they form loyalties pretty quickly, especially when you're a hardworking cowboy and somebody takes care of you and you try to do right by them. And so I don't know what camp anyone's in, but, you know, some people depict Billy the Kid as being this loose cannon and a vagrant, an outlaw and all those things. But you put yourself in his time and place and his situation where he's just basically defending a friend who's basically taken him in. Who's to say we wouldn't do something terribly different?
What was it like being a cattle hand back during that time period?
See, I wouldn't even know. And the real frank truth is none of us know. We only go off of what the old timers said. And you never know when those old timers were telling the truth and how they tried to angle things and spin things. But you've got the Jim Miller biography in front of USC, so I have a feeling you've got a quote.
I've actually got some interesting bits here. So it's the James M. Miller autobiography here. He's an old pioneer or early forefather of Roswell, if you will, lived here during that time period, moved from California, came down, and then went back. I'm sorry, not California, Colorado. Moved from Colorado down to the Pecos Valley, Roswell area, saw it, decided to move back to Colorado, and then decides later to move back to Roswell. So a couple of interesting bits here is you were talking about Billy the Kid staying in the public mind as kind of like this James Dean sort of died young, charismatic and whatnot. To give a little context of what James Miller had understood this area of the world to be relative to where he was at originally in Colorado. It was that Wild West outlaw, living by the gun sort. So this is chapter 10 of the James Miller autobiography. Starts off at the beginning of 1878. I had concluded that what I ought to make an effort to get out of Colorado. So he's talking about where he's at and where he's going from. And his brother goes down to Roswell before him and then writes him a letter back. February 1878, so the start of the Lincoln County War, effectively, right? I received the first letter from him, being the brother, since he had left for southeastern New Mexico. He reported that he had found the prospects around Roswell as good as had been described. He had made a very favorable report upon the climate, but he was forced to say that socially and financially the conditions were not so good. As an explanation of his not writing sooner, Bill, his brother, gave his doubt that I would care to stay in a section where, as he put it, there was no market for anything except whiskey and guns. So that's painting kind of a really outlaw Wild West mm-hmm. feel right away. And he goes on to talk about how he gets down here and then his trip and everything. And he talks about specifically Pecos Valley. There was no question about the conditions of the Pecos Valley looking very discouraging to a peace-loving man. Okay, so we've come from Colorado, where he later describes going back to Colorado and being happy about the you know, kumbaya aspect of the community and everything relative to the Pecos Valley. The reason why I'm bringing Miller into this is he actually describes a meeting that he had with Billy the Kid. And he describes Billy the Kid in that favorable fashion. He says, I'm able to end the chapter with something about Billy the Kid, who I happened to meet twice during the short period of time I was in New Mexico. It was only a few days after the assassination of Sheriff Brady. But the incident seems fully characteristic of Billy. It showed him to be, after all, a simply God-fearing, good-hearted boy, very observant, intelligent for his age. He also displayed certain attractive qualities, especially friendliness and affability, that lingered pleasantly in the minds of those who came into acquaintance with him, and make them lenient in judging him and his deeds, and incline them to overlook rash crimes. For in judging him, the general conditions of the country must be taken into consideration. So James Miller seems to have a rather positive view of Billy the Kid here, and he goes on later to say, I have often been asked the question, was not Billy the Kid a cold-hearted murderer? Did he just shoot promiscuously into crowds, killing innocent people? I always have answered no, and that's, you know, capital letters there. It is my honest belief that he never harmed an innocent or unarmed person or hurt anyone unless he believed it was necessary to protect himself. I will always believe he might have been useful and a peaceful citizen if given a chance. So, we have two different characterizations of Billy mm-hmm. the Kid in our collective memory. You've got the desperado gunslinger and cold-hearted murderer, and then you've got this old-timer who claims to have actually met Billy the Kid twice, and on both occasions comes out saying that he was a very well-likable young man. And you alluded earlier to him being kind of a woman's man, right? Mm-hmm. So there was some charisma that would come along with that. Do you think he was a master manipulator or a good-hearted young fellow, like James Miller here puts it, just thrust into a bad situation at the wrong time?
Probably a little bit of both. I think he was very boyish, and he probably at some point realized that women would react to that and want to nurture him. And so he probably did take advantage of that, but he also probably really enjoyed it because his mother died when he was 14. So he probably, you know, really yearned for a maternal figure in his life, you know, whether it was just a señorita he was having a fling with, or maybe, you know, an older woman who there was no type of, you know, romantic relationship with, you know, for instance. So, Yeah, I think he probably did, yeah.
So Billy the Kid is the star of the Lincoln County War, you know, pop culture, historical icon. Pat Garrett, he plays into this. Where does Pat Garrett come from? And what are some of the legends around the sheriff who shot and killed the kid?
So Pat Garrett came from the Deep South, you know, and as such, people kind of imagine he might have had a Southern drawl. He was a buffalo hunter for several years, and he didn't have a squeaky clean record at all. He actually shot one of his hunting friends in a dispute around the campfire one night, which was kind of a notorious incident that, you know, again, you have different historical accounts of, and you don't really know who to believe about it. But he just drifted into New Mexico eventually, specifically into Fort Sumner, and that's where they claim he met Billy. And it's probably important to note that Pat was not a part of the Lincoln County War. He didn't fight in the Lincoln County War. I believe he came into the area after the fighting was basically over. Again, pretty much just in the Fort Sumner region. And some people claim that Pat and Billy used to wrestle cattle together. Some just claim they were gambling buddies. They called Pat Big Casino and Billy Little Casino because they claim they're always together gambling. So there seems to be pretty good evidence that they were on good terms for a while there, to, you know, regardless of how close they really were or weren't. And Pat Garrett, you know, he had no experience as a lawman when he was elected sheriff. But around that time in 1880, when the election was for sheriff of Lincoln County, cattle rustling was a big, big deal. And Billy the Kid being the most famous cattle rustler, I think the idea was, well, if we can kill Billy, that will scare the other cattle rustlers and send a message to him. You know, to them, Billy was kind of like the head of the snake, even though he wasn't really. I mean, he was a cattle rustler, but he wasn't really, you know, the head of the snake, so to speak. But basically, just because Pat knew Billy fairly well, that's how he got elected the job of being sheriff, on the promise that he would hunt Billy down and arrest him, which he did. And then the thing is, though, Billy escaped. He was jailed in the Lincoln County Courthouse, and that's another reason why he's so famous. You know, earlier I just talked about him dying young and, you know, all that. But really what propelled him to fame wasn't the acts in the Lincoln County War. It was his escape from the Lincoln County Courthouse in the spring of 1881, because there were two guards on him, and he managed to slip away from both of them and kill both of them and actually get away. So he really beat the odds on that one. And naturally, that was sensational for the newspapers. And about 3 months later, Pat Garrett managed to hunt Billy down in Fort Sumner, and he shot him on the night of July 14th, 1881. And that was that. And after that, that's when Billy's fame really took off, because the newspapers, you know, they need something interesting. So it was like, well, this young desperado, he was just shot in New Mexico. And, you know, he did make waves a while back for that courthouse escape. So after his death is when he really, really took off into stardom.
And has continued to stay in the forefront of pop culture. You mentioned that there was a book written in the 1920s,
mm-hmm.
The Saga of Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, film's starting to become, you know, a major medium of entertainment. And Billy's been the subject matter of what? 30, 40, 50 films?
Yeah, I don't. There is a book devoted just to the filmography of Billy the Kid, so definitely a lot.
One of the things that I came across last night that I had absolutely no idea of until just last night, I was like, okay, now I need to watch this. Billy the Kid versus Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can rent it on Apple or Amazon for $3.99 as of last night, but I couldn't find a digital copy to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
I was going to say, you can just borrow my Blu-ray. I don't like it. Okay. I watched it in hopes of liking it. It's not even worth wasting your $4 rental, in my opinion. It's awful.
So is this like MST3K value awful, or is it worse than even that?
No, it's not even fun to make. Well, there's a few parts that are fun to make fun of, but it to me, was not one of those movies that was so bad it was entertaining. It was just kind of boring. There's nothing really special about Billy the Kid in that movie to make him Billy the Kid. It could have just been any cowboy, frankly, but they chose him.
Because of the name.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, that being said, we've got this pop culture fascination with Billy the Kid. Now, not everybody does, right? You're going to have those that are into the Westerns and stuff, and then those that aren't. There is an interesting tie, though, to the Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid into the 47 crash of Roswell.
Yeah, we did talk about that the other day. So the biggest connection is that Pat Garrett, he died in 1908. Specifically, he was assassinated in a conspiracy. And it's too much to get into for this podcast. It'd take us down too many rabbit holes, but that's all you really need to know. Pat Garrett assassinated in a conspiracy. And the patsy of, or the fall guy of the conspiracy, was named Jesse Wayne Brazel. And he is, for a fact, either the cousin or nephew or something. He's a fairly decent close relation to Mac Brazel, who found the UFO debris in 1947.
The old wagon right across the street from Home Depot being driven by an alien. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That encapsulates the Old West meets space age, I think, very, very well.
Yeah.
And I think it also captures the mesh of what some people might consider as historical fiction with mm-hmm. the UFO and everything, you know?
Yeah.
And then actual history. And so you can bring these together and tell stories with it. So tell us about your book.
Yeah, so typically I'm known for nonfiction. I've done about 40 nonfiction books, but The Note of Desperado Pancho Dumez is my first novel. I started writing it back when I was 19, and I chose as the backdrop of the story the mythology of Billy the Kid rather than Billy the Kid himself, because there's, quite frankly, there are a lot of novels and dramatizations of the Lincoln County War, which has kind of been done to death. And I thought it would be way more interesting if Billy the Kid was the MacGuffin of the plot, so to speak. Or in this case, the MacGuffin is Billy the Kid's notorious tombstone from Fort Sumner. It's been stolen about two times now. And that is why if you go to Fort Sumner, his grave is actually in basically a jail cell or a cage outside. The tombstone is literally shackled to the ground so nobody can steal it again.
Or so Billy the Kid can't escape again.
Oh, well, that too, yeah. Yeah, and so my mind was, well, you know, what if there was something in the tombstone? What if they weren't stealing it because it belonged to Billy the Kid? What if Billy the Kid faked his death and he hid something inside the tombstone? And that's my wild little plot behind the story, which is set in 1976, because that's the year that the tombstone was returned to Fort Sumner. It got stolen in the year 1950. Coincidentally, a man who claimed to be a living Billy the Kid had visited the grave that same year, and that's, again, is when the tombstone coincidentally went missing. And again, coincidentally, the tombstone was found very near where this old man lived and died, in a place called Granbury, Texas. So that's really what fired my imagination. Was, okay, we've got a story about Billy the Kid faking his death, and there's something about his tombstone, and you know, it'll explain why it keeps getting stolen. So it's basically like an Indiana Jones type story in New Mexico, where Billy the Kid's tombstone is the MacGuffin. That's probably the simplest way to describe it.
But pulling off of the Billy the Kid saga and the mythology around the kid in the area, it's really interesting to move here and learn about all of these local legends. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in New York or Chicago or Washington, or, you know, your location, wherever you are, where you're listening to this, will have its own local mm-hmm, legends. Yeah. And it's fun to scratch and sniff and to dive into that.
Yeah.
And Roswell, being the city that it is of notoriety, has a lot around here as well as just within the city itself to draw from. Well, the noted desperado, Pancho Dumez, written by John LeMay, a local author, historian,
over 40 books to your name. Do you often write young adult novels, or is this your first adventure into that for the publishing side?
So that's my first one. You know, my very first book ever was just a pictorial history of Roswell, and that's how I became involved with the Historical Society, as I went there to work on it, and I met Elvis E. Fleming, who's passed away a couple years ago now, but he was very generous with his time and his advice, and he helped me gather the photos and teach me what I needed to know, and that's kind of how I became involved with the Historical Museum. And we do have an excellent archive facility.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we get a lot of requests from authors from out of state, out of town. You know, they'll want a certain photograph, and we give them publishing rights for, I think it's around $15, depending on what the print run of your book is, which is very affordable compared to other archives.
Mm-hmm.
And people are really kind, because usually they'll give us more money than what we ask for, which is great. We're open by appointment, just because, most times what'll happen is if you're open certain days, nobody will walk in, but then someone will call, well, can I come in this day? This is the only day we're in town, you know, that sort of thing. So we've just found it's really much easier to let people set up their own appointments, and then we'll just make it work.
And it ends up being a more personalized tour.
Yeah.
And they get a little bit more unique experience than they would at a regular museum.
I can certainly attest to that,
yeah,
from personal experience.
So it's turned out to be a very good move for us, and not we didn't know we were going to do it until COVID hit, obviously.
Sure.
But we're going to stick with it because it works so well. You know, the Historical Society for Southeast New Mexico, like he said, houses this great archive and then facility, and we're always doing things to try to promote and educate folks on history, whether it be through student tours, personal tours for families, small events around town, and things like that. And we are a nonprofit, and so all of the contributions or donations definitely go back into preserving our facilities and promoting history for this entire corner of the state. And so we just encourage people to come out and visit us. Take a look at our website online, maybe buy a couple of books or two. We do have a little bookstore inside, and we would encourage you to just sign up for a tour and take a look at what we have to offer.
And it's not just a gift shop and a library with archives. You've actually got the White House, correct?
The Lighthouse?
The
White House. Yeah, that J.P. White House was built in 1912, or finished in 1912, and it was a pretty substantial structure even by today's standards. But if you think about the territory at that time, because New Mexico just became a state in 1912, I mean, that house had a lot of features and things that were just not found in the Southwest, if at all, very, very rarely. And so it's a neat place to visit. They put a lot of time and effort and money into that place, and so it's worthwhile taking a look to see. And of course, with an old building, you know, it requires a lot of maintenance and upkeep, and we do a pretty darn good job of making sure that facility will last for years.
It is a beautiful home.
And since this is a Billy the Kid episode, it's worth mentioning old J.P. White. Of course, he knew Billy the Kid, and he was his claim to fame with Billy is he and Billy were involved in some sort of a horse race bet in Tascosa, Texas. And I don't remember the exact story, but that's J.P. White's little tie to Billy the Kid.
J.P. White had a horse race with Billy the Kid.
Or they might have bet on a horse race together, but that's all I remember. It had something to do with a horse race in Tascosa, Texas. So they're connected as well.
Interesting. All right. Okay, so John LeMay, local author, The Noted Desperado, Pancho Dumez. You can get it on Amazon or at the Miniatures Museum here downtown, mm-hmm, or at where else?
At the Historical Society, and then just Amazon. You know, it's great if you can get it from one of those two museums to help support them, but Amazon, you know, I'll see money from that too, so it doesn't really matter, but...
For your paycheck.
Yeah.
And then Jason Garcia, president of the Historical Society, thank you for being in studio.
Well, thank you.
All right. For now, folks, goodbye from Roswell.